Owned and local, this is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
The Newsmaker segment today is brought to you by Hometown Healthcare, providing in-home skilled nursing and therapy services for you. Call 620-342-2600 for the complete list of services or to set up an assessment. Hometown Healthcare, there to care.
This is John Reed with Hometown Healthcare, and there to care isn't just our motto. It is part of our core values. Our staff is comprised of individuals who act with integrity and commitment to working diligently to serve our patients and their families. Our staff advocates for the patients we respectfully care for in the comfort of their homes. We strive for excellence while providing skilled nursing services and therapy services, disease management, education, and many others. Hometown Healthcare, there to care. Please call 342-2600 or visit us online, hometownhealthcare.net.
KVOE, we are live and we are local, and we are happy that you're with us on this Tuesday morning, the 5th of September, and we're very pleased to be joined on our primetime newsmaker this morning via the KVOE Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line by the Executive Director of SOS, Connie Cahoon. Connie, good morning. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you all this morning?
We're doing all right. So how does it feel, I guess, to have the announcement coming out here Friday that retirement is at hand for you here coming up next spring?
It brought the realness out. You know, it's a little scary. It's exciting. It's all wrapped up into one, all kinds of feelings wrapped up into one. So, yes.
Well, yeah, you have been at the helm of SOS and many accomplishments and helped so many people through the years. 2012 is when you came on board here. So let's go back, Connie. What drew you to this position in SOS?
I knew I was ready to get out of banking and do something different and to try to make a difference in people's lives. And I remember talking to Susan Moran, and I talked to other executive directors around town of nonprofits, and she said, you know, maybe when I retire, you could take this. And I thought, oh, sweetheart, I love you, and you do a fabulous job, but I don't think I want your job. And I remember the job coming open and thinking, I don't think my heart could take it. I kept seeing this ad and seeing the ad, and finally my good friend Robbie Hill says, Connie, you wouldn't be doing the work. You would be supporting the directors of the program, so then then supporting the advocates, you know, the people who actually do the actual work. And it was just like, oh, now I can support people. And she said, there's financial, okay, well, I could do that. You know, and you know about HR? Yes, I know. Okay, so then I applied, and as they say, the rest is history.
When it comes to what you expected and really what you found when you came on board with SOS, how did what you found when you first got started, how did that match your expectations going in?
You know, it's really hard to come into this job with any kind of expectations. So it was, I came in with a completely open mind and ready to learn. You know, I knew that I had a learning curve being from the profit world to the nonprofit. I knew I had that. One of the things that I noticed right away was the finances. We are, by our accreditations, we're supposed to have 3 months in reserve, and we were only at like 22% of that or something. And I started to panic, thinking, what have I gotten myself into? And I thought, no, don't panic yet. Let's just, you know, just start working on that. And so, you know, we did. We started working on fundraisers and, you know, different things to try to get more awareness out there. Susan did a fabulous job, and I don't want to take anything away from her by any means. But, you know, I just needed to do a few things differently because she'd already put things into place for me so well. So I just needed to do a few things differently to get finances in better order. You know, one of the goals was to get in a building together with all staff. And so we've been able to do some of those things. We've been very, very blessed during my time here.
Again, Connie Cahoon joining us, the executive director of SOS, announced her retirement coming up in March of next year. Connie, did you realize when you first started here at SOS the scope of what they were doing and what the need was out there and how many people SOS was actually serving?
No, absolutely not. I had no clue. You know, I got their newsletters and I knew about their programs, but I didn't realize the full extent of the work our staff does each and every day, working with clients, helping them overcome, empowering them, giving them options, getting them contacted with community partners, you know, getting volunteers for a CASA program, and the heavy need for that with kiddos in the court system. You know, I didn't realize what our Child Advocacy Center did in interviewing kiddos who've been sexually assaulted. I'd been through a program and taken tours and stuff, and visited the Child Visitation Exchange Center, but, you know, there was so much more to it, so much more behind the scenes that's done, trying to make sure we have funding for each and every little thing to make sure we can continue to provide services that people need so desperately. And I was blown away by the numbers that we can absolutely continue to serve, and it breaks my heart in some ways. I kept hearing people say when I started, I would love to be out of a job, and I echo that. And, you know, I hope to bring next is the legacy of hope for people, you know, that we can be around for years and years to come and continue the services that we do and find somebody that will take this program, you know, take SOS and just grow it and expand it and make sure we just continue to meet the needs of our community.
Connie, when you know, as your time progressed here with SOS, where did you wind up seeing the specific needs that had evolved here over time, and what really led you to the big push, and maybe others associated with SOS, for that big push a few years ago to consolidate services that ultimately led to the purchasing the 1420 C of E Drive address?
We were really, it was hard to go know what staff was doing and be able to help staff and empower staff and encourage staff when they're in four different buildings. You know, we didn't feel like a team. Everybody felt separated by their buildings. And that was really difficult. And so I think it was wonderful to be able to put everybody together, have our shelter right here. I can walk down, if necessary, somebody needs something, I can walk down to their office instead of them having to come across town or me going across town. You know, it's so much more efficient having everybody under one roof, and we can all feel more like a team and basically encourage each other and support each other. Our work is tough, and so you need people that you can walk down the hall and just be able to talk to or vent to or talk about what you're going to do this weekend, as opposed to having to think about, you know, the people that you've just worked with and listened to their horrific stories. So it's really important to be together, and I'm so excited we were able to accomplish that.
I bet you were. That was quite the capital campaign. Take us to the beginning, the seed planting of the capital campaign, because this was, I would assume, had to be kind of deemed a Herculean effort, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. It was. We employed a great team and Robert Swanson's team to help us, and then we had a couple staff members. Lucas Moody was here at the time, and he helped, and we started enlisting some great SOS champions in the community. Mark and Angie Schreiber were the co-captains of that team. We had Donna Robbie Hill. I'm going to forget somebody, and I don't mean to. Tristan and Todd Hendrickson and others, basically joining our team, Jamie Souter and his lovely wife, and we had Angie Baker. We had, I'm going to forget his name. He was, and he was such a great guy, too. His wife was the president here for a while at ESU, and they were just a great team member for us, too. So anyway, we had a great community to start with, a team to start with, and we just started asking and putting out request to different funders, grantors that do this type of funding. And, I mean, we worked hard for several years. I really almost felt like I had two jobs at that point, because I had to, you know, work on the capital campaign and then, you know, still had the other work to do as well. It was quite difficult. And, you know, I just am very thankful that we were able to survive that and, you know, thrive during that time and get this building done. And we're just so grateful for our community, because we couldn't have done this without the great community support. And I think that's one other thing that just totally has blown me away with this. People understand the need. It's not something they really want to talk about, because nobody wants to talk about a child being abused or anyone being abused, because no one deserves that. And so it's really hard to talk about sometimes. But I think people do understand the need, and they sure came through for us during my tenure here, and I've just been so appreciative of that.
So what was the capital campaign goal when you started, Connie?
Oh, my gosh. I think it was two and a half to begin with.
Okay.
And then we kept raising it as costs. You know, we'd look at the building and have to have more costs. And so we ended up raising over $4 million when it was all said and done. And We have no debt on the building. We were able just to squeak in and get everything covered, and you know, Mitchell Markowitz helped us a lot too, trying to cut corners where we could and yet have things we needed. And you know, like my big gorgeous office, I'm feel very spoiled and very honored, and have a lot of meetings in here to use the space correctly, you know, and be cognizant of the funds. So anyway, we've done quite well. We're just very fortunate.
I have to ask, though, because, I mean, talking about the fundraising, and, you know, you could also loop in, you know, the ongoing success of Hopapalooza, SOS Strong, Heroes for Hope, which is the most recent of the big fundraisers that you have.
Yes.
That is really kind of juxtaposed with the fact that the grant funding, even though people say they recognize the need at the legislative levels, continues to come down the way it appears overall.
It does.
How concerning is that?
That's really hard. It's very concerning. You know, you just want to make sure that they understand the need and actually fund the needs then. And when that doesn't happen, then you're left to pick up the pieces, basically. And you see people walk in the door with needs. You see all the kiddos in the court system who still don't have volunteers to help them. You know, so we're still falling short. Even as great as we're doing, we still fall short every day. And it's really hard to see kiddos suffer, adults suffer. It's just really, it's heart-wrenching, and so it's easy then to get behind doing the fundraising and garnering people and gathering them up and, you know, being a cheerleader for them and explaining what the need is, and then they go out and they're really surprised at the need when they come in, and they have great stories to tell when they come back of people that they have known forever that didn't realize had been abused as they were a child, or had an experience when they were in college, or, you know, were married before and you didn't even know it, and survived domestic violence relationships. So it affects a lot of people, and I don't think people, until they're getting out and talking about it, do they realize the real need.
And SOS Executive Director Connie Cahoon with us on our primetime newsmaker. Connie announced that she'll be retiring coming up in March of next year after being at the helm since 2012. Well, Connie, how many people you have working at SOS now?
Nearly 50. So, and I think that surprises people. You know, we have about 28 full-time, and then the rest make up our part-time staff who help answer the helpline in our shelter on nights and weekends when full-time staff needs a break. We have our security guards and our supervisors up at our Child Visitation Exchange Center that are nights and weekends as well. So I think people are really surprised by the number of people that are here working. And we thought we were going to have to cut a position recently, and we were without that position for a little while, then realized we could go ahead and hire that position back. And we were very thankful to get that person back, because people were just really feeling that one person down. It just really can make a difference for us. We're really excited now. We have four Spanish-speaking advocates, and we're very blessed to do that. And we have one in our CASA program now, and are trying to expand our Latinx outreach. And, you know, we're just really always looking for the need. What is the real need right now, and how can we fulfill that need? And, you know, we have a great staff that work together to be able to do that. I can't do this alone, obviously.
You know, speaking of the need, Connie, what would you want maybe residents both locally and across the coverage area for SOS to know about the need and how SOS is addressing that folks may not really consider off the top of their heads? And what advice are you kind of formulating in your head for the next SOS director as they come on board next year?
I think one of our biggest needs right now is CASA volunteers. We're really lacking, and we're leaving kiddos in the court system without a voice. And basically that voice comes through a trained volunteer. It doesn't take that much time, and you can really make a difference in someone's life. So really think that is a piece that, you know, it keeps me up at night, worrying that we don't have enough volunteers for those kiddos. I see the difference it makes on kids for a lifetime with a few hours a month right now. I mean, seriously, can make the difference between someone that's on the streets versus someone that is a well-adjusted citizen, a great member of society, raising their own family. It's a world of difference. And so I really think people need to understand that. We need those volunteers. We always are needing funding. Right now, we are not accepting like clothing and stuff because we have means for our clients to go get clothing free through several different community partners here in town. And for the next executive director, I think they need to realize that they need to come in with an open mind and an open heart and learn as much as they can. And, you know, it's a situation where, I felt like it took me a couple years to really learn the job, and I am still learning each and every day, you know, as things, as the community changes, as the times change, we need to be the forefront of those changes so that we can help make SOS a very welcoming environment for anyone who might walk in our door so that we're able to serve them, meet them where they're at, and help them then succeed and help them overcome what they've been through. And that's, you know, it is a big daunting task, but together we can do this and leave a legacy of hope.
Well, Connie, what led to your decision to retire?
My husband's been retired for a little over a year, and I just, you know, it's time to start having more time for my grandkids. Part of my grandkids are two of them are grown and married already, and yet I have younger three that are still, you know, just getting ready to come into their junior high years, and, you know, I just really want to spend some time with them and enjoy them while I can, and it's just time to sit back and relax and enjoy the fruits of my labor, I guess you should say.
Makes a lot of sense. So what's ahead then? What's ahead then besides the extra time with family? You going to get on the bike and do some more traveling then?
I hope so. That is really something that Steve and I would love to do. Just, you know, even if it's day trips on the motorcycle, you know, just really sit back and enjoy life. I am going to take the first year and just really just relax and just try to get in a little bit of a routine, but I don't have any plans. I've had to have plans all of my life, and now I don't really want to have plans going into retirement. I just want to meet the day as it comes, and, you know, other than the time with grandkids and taking some trips and traveling, I don't really want to do a whole lot of planning.
Understand. Totally understand. Well, Connie, you have definitely left a legacy at SOS.
Yes, indeed.
Ron, is there anything else that you wanted to ask? Because I'm out of
questions. No, we just want to thank Connie for all that she has done. She's been really a beacon and has helped so many people and done a great job leading the SOS organization since 2012, and you certainly will be missed. And the search begins now, Connie. Is that correct?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Thanks so much for your very kind words. I really appreciate it. Yes, the search comes next. I hope by the end of this week or first part of next, we will have the information out to start looking for the next executive director. We know that it's a process and it takes a little bit of time, and so, you know, we'll be asking for applicants. And then we'll start first interviews, and by November we'll be doing do second interviews, and hopefully by the first part of January have somebody in mind to hire and a job offered, and, you know, then we'll start working on training with them to make sure that, you know, they have the best of everything when they walk in the door, so they can just hit the ground running, and here to help in any way I can, even through retirement if they need something, I'm available. So you know, we just have to have SOS, somebody that really cares and is willing to learn and grow and, you know, just really take this to the next level, which, you know, so I'm hoping and praying for that.
And tell them to watch out for those noisy neighbors.
That's right.
Down the hall.
You guys are great neighbors. We're so lucky to have you here with us.
Well, Connie, we're blessed to have the partnership that we've had for a long period of time, and you've been an integral part of that. So thanks again for your time with us this morning, but also thanks again for the work that you and SOS have done in the community and the area for a long period of time. Thanks again.
Thank you so very much. My complete and absolute pleasure.
Connie, thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks, Connie.
Thank you.
Yeah, Connie Cahoon, Executive Director of SOS. She'll be missed, that is for sure.
Absolutely.
Done outstanding work in SOS, and I'm sure we'll have Connie back on before she gets to retirement coming up in March, but we thank Connie for her time this morning.
Indeed, and I want to let you know that our schedule has been basically filling since we walked in the door this morning, and now the week is just about completely, totally full. So if you want to check the live local calendar,